Hello, welcome to Biology on the Beach. This is Dr. Leo Stouter. Today we're continuing our discussion of genetics. This is our third part of genetics. We're going to be talking about Mendel's principles. Remember that Mendel was the founder of modern genetics. And we're going to talk about the two principles that he promulgated. And one was, the first principle was the principle of segregation. He said that in meiosis, which as you know is the creation of the sex cells, that would be the sperm and the egg, that only one alternative trait can be carried by that cell. So a sperm can only carry one alternative trait, and the egg can only carry the other alternative trait. A good example is what we talked about with the kid today on the beach. We noticed that he had black hair, where his father had black hair as well, and his mother had blonde hair. So when the egg comes across from the mother, the blonde gene, or that trait, will be there. And in that space of hair color, that's going to be blonde for her. She would not be carrying blonde and dark hair. She can only carry one trait. So that's the idea behind the segregation. As you know, segregation is to separate. So the traits are going to be separate. The second principle is going to be the independent assortment. Now, with assortment, we're going to be having the genes that are going to control one trait, they're going to be distinct from another gene trait. So you will have an independent gene quality. So you won't have, for instance, dark hair and, let's say, intelligence going together. Or you won't have blonde hair and non-intelligence going together. So if a person is blonde, they may not be stupid. Now there are some exceptions to these general rules that we talked about of genetics. And the first exception to the rule is called incomplete dominance. Now up to this point we've talked about dominant and recessive traits. And we said that a dominant trait is going to be that trait that's going to dominate over the recessive, and therefore it will be the phenotype, or it will be what is manifest. So when we look at a dominant trait, it's going to be manifesting, like we said, with the couple before me. In fact, they're getting in the surf right now. Even the kid's going in there, abandoning his sand castle, and he's getting in the water too. They're very cute. He's got a little mask and a little snorkel, because he's going to do a little bit of snorkeling out there. So it's really cute to see. But he has the dark hair of his father, which dominated over the blonde hair of the mother. And that would be the classic genetic scenario. However, there is a phenomena called incomplete dominance. And this is going to be an exception to that rule. In incomplete dominance, you have a dominance that's going to be incomplete. So if we were to picture this little boy again, and let's say now he didn't have dark hair, but he had blonde and dark hair, both. So they had that combination of both. And if that were the case, then we would call that incomplete dominance. But that's not the case with hair, but nonetheless. If we look at, for instance, in this case, it would be not a dominant allele, but both would be sort of semi-expressed. So you have a mixed phenotype. Like, for instance, if you had a white horse and a very dark horse, if they got together, they would create a gray horse, which would be a combination of the white and the black. That would give you a gray horse. Or another good example is having a red flower and a white flower. If you put the red flower with the white flower, you're going to be getting a composite. Now, composite would be a pink flower. And we like to use that example because pink has IN in it, so it's a good way of thinking about incomplete dominance, which also has an IN in it. When we look at another exception to the rule of genetics, it's going to be a codominance. And once again, when we mentioned dominant or recessive traits, we expected that dominant trait to dominate over the recessive trait. It's possible to have both traits expressed. So you have both alleles expressed independently. So a best example of this would be sickle cell anemia, where you have half the blood being expressed as normal red blood cells, and the other half being expressed as sickled red blood cells. So half the blood is normal, half the blood is sickled. So both alleles have expressed themselves. And that would be a consideration, would be the codominance situation. And the best way to remember codominance and sickle cell is if you picture a sickled cell, which is going to be a C, and also picture a normal blood cell, which would be an O, then we know that codominance, or sickled cell, would be the best example of codominance. Now, another exception to the rule of genetics as well, with this dominant trait dominating over a recessive trait, is polygenic traits. And you've seen these before, I'm sure. Like when you see a short father and a tall mother that have a child, they won't have necessarily a child that's as tall as the mother, nor as short as the father. There may be a variance in there from short to tall. Or you may have a kid that is just as short as the father, or you may have another child that's as tall as the mother, or you may have gradations in between. Or you've certainly seen this, where you've had a white mother and a black father, and they have a kid, and the child comes out in a variety of colors. It could be somewhere in the middle, so it could be sort of a lighter than the father, but darker than the mother. Or you could have the individual being as white as the mother, or as black as the father. You can have a variety, is the point. That's why we call it poly, because poly means many. So it's really many kinds of genetic traits that are occurring there. So polygenic traits would violate which of the two principles of Mendel's? You said his first principle of segregation, that would be good. That would be a good choice. Now, those are going to be normal variances, if you will, or normal exceptions to genetics. But there's also abnormal things that can happen to genes, and these are called mutations. The problems with gene expression would be a mutation. Mutations should cause the genes not to express in the way that they should. So, for instance, a gene mutation is going to cause a change in the nucleotide sequence. We know the sequence of the DNA is going to be GCAT, which we talked about. But if it's GCAT, that would be the proper sequence. A gene mutation would make an AGCT, for instance, where a GCAT should be. So if we have a variance in the nucleotide sequence, then we're going to be having some problems. Now, these can either be inherited from the parents, so the parents have the mutation and they pass it on to the next generation, or it could be that it's going to be acquired. And acquired would mean that the individual would gain that mutation over a period of time. For instance, smokers. Smokers that smoke cigarettes could cause their DNA in their lungs to alter or mutate, and that then could cause cancer. So a gene mutation is a permanent change in the DNA sequence that makes up a gene. And most genes are most mutant genes are going to be recessive, because the individual that has these genes will usually not survive. So that would be the reason why we'd have most of our mutations are going to be recessive genes. And we don't really want them in our gene pool, quote-unquote pool, anyways, do we? That's why we don't allow for really close relationships, like cousins to marry, or for brothers and sisters to marry, because that would not be good for the gene pool, ultimately. We want diversity, and diversity is a key for genetic strength. So there's also going to be a mutation that's going to be just centered on the sex chromosomes. These are the X and the Y, or the X and the X, and we call these sex-linked mutations. And a classic example would be color deficiency or color blindness. Color blindness tends to be more in males because there's no overlying normal genetics. Now, if you picture the X and the Y, the X is going to have more genetic information on it. The Y is going to be missing a part of the X. So if you picture that part of the X that's missing, and then you picture the leg of the Y, if you will, if the mutation's on that leg of the Y, there's nothing to counter it because there's no genetic information there. So that individual would develop color deficiency. Now, inborn errors of metabolism would be an example of a lack of an enzyme. An enzyme, as you remember, facilitates reactions. So we have PKU, which is phenylketonuria, and that's going to be a urinary problem. And what you're going to notice is that, well, not urinary, you're going to notice it in the urine, as in urea, because the urine's going to look like maple syrup. So you know that there's a problem, and the problem is metabolizing amino acids. So what you're going to be having in PKU is you have phenylalanine, which is an amino acid. It should normally convert to tyrosine, which is another amino acid. But if the enzyme is not there, it will not convert into tyrosine. If it doesn't convert into tyrosine, then the phenylalanine will build up. An accumulation of excessive amounts of phenylalanine will then cause mental retardation and brain damage. This excessive phenylalanine in the body will cause it to be excreted in the urine, and then once it's excreted in the urine, as we said, and it hits the air, it will turn into what looks like maple syrup in the individual's diaper. So this problem with conversion of phenylalanine then is going to be a mutation. The way they treat it is to have phenylalanine taken out of the diet, and then after the individual's brain grows, then in their adult life, in their later life, then they can have a normal diet usually. But you can't have an excessive phenylalanine anyway. That's why if you see some diet drinks that have NutraSweet in them, NutraSweet's created by taking phenylalanine and tweaking it and making it sweet. So that's how they make NutraSweet. And phenylalanine would be then higher in concentration in those diet drinks that have NutraSweet in them. That's why if you see in a package of a NutraSweet container, it'll say contains phenylalanine. So phytoketonurics, this contains phenylalanine, so you should avoid this. Also another inborn error of metabolism, that's going to be albinism. And an albino is an individual who has very, very white skin and white hair. He has no pigments. He also has very pink eyes because he doesn't have the pigments in his iris. So an albino is not going to be able to make melanin, which is the pigment which is in the skin. They do, however, have the same amount of melanocytes as anybody else, but they're decreased in their production. So they have the same amount of melanocytes as a black person, for instance, except they're not making melanin. So they're going to have the same amount of melanocytes. So they do not have decreased melanocytes. And the method or the problem with albinism is in an enzyme that's supposed to convert tyrosine, remember that amino acid we just talked about, into melanin. But because the enzyme is not present, tyrosine cannot be converted into melanin, and therefore we will not get that pigment. So that's a real problem, as you can well imagine. Now, causes of mutation can be mutagens, and a mutagen is going to be what causes a mutation, such as radiation from the sun and also from x-rays, chemicals such as drugs and cigarettes. Also, if there is a mutation that does occur, and this is not uncommon for a normal person to have mutations occurring, but what happens is that they get fixed. So the mutation, the DNA mutation is fixed because the body realizes it and goes ahead and fixes it. But there can be a problem with a leaky DNA repair system. If the system is not working properly, then the individual then will have their mutation actually becoming apparent. So if there's a mutation there, typically we fix it. If there's a leaky DNA repair system, it may not be fixed. Now, when we look at what happens with mutations, we said they're going to be a genetic problems, but we can also have other problems as well with mutations. Now, we can have an actual problem with the chromosomes, which we'll talk about in our next section on genetics. So this is Dr. Leo Stauder saying I hope you enjoyed that. And this is Biology on the Beach. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye now.